Hey there, I want to take a quick second to thank you for listening to the Focus Point podcast. I hope that you find a blessing and encouragement through this episode. I hope that you'll share the episode with your family and your friends. If this is one of your first times catching us, or if you want to find out more about us, or if you want to listen to other episodes, please visit thepointoffocus.com, and there you will find our podcast archive as well as more information. Once again, that's thepointoffocus.com, and once again, I thank you for listening to this episode. Well, everyone, we are finishing off our series in the book of Joshua today. Be the last episode of the Strong series and the next to last episode of the Journey to the Promised Land series that we started all the way back in January. So if you have a copy of the Bible, whether it's paper or electronic, go ahead, open it up. Joshua chapter 21 is where we're going to start, and then we're going to look at Joshua chapter 23. So we'll read just a few verses in Joshua 21. And then we'll read all of Joshua 23, and I'll explain in just a little bit. But for this last episode, I wanted to give just final words from Joshua. And that's kind of a double title. It means final words from the book of Joshua, as in Joshua, our series. But also we're going to look at Joshua's final speech that he gives to the nation of Israel, which takes place in Joshua 23. So, but what this is I want to just look at the last few things that I see in this book of Joshua. And I want to some of them are reminders. Some of them are important like that. And so I think that's kind of what we're going to be doing today in this episode. Just several little reminders that kind of help close off this book and help close off our series and our idea of strong and courageous faith in these few reminders. A little bit though, before we dive into this, where we're going, next week we're going to close off the Journey to the Promised Land series as we kind of look back over the entire theme that we've built over this year. I'm excited for that. So that's what we're doing. And then we're going to do a two-week series called Full and Running Over in Psalm 23. And then we're going to do our Christmas at the Movie series. So we've got a few things on the table that are coming that are really exciting, and I hope you'll join us for them. But for now, let's get into this last few reminders and that we can take with us as we get out of the book of Joshua. And as I said at the beginning of the series, this is not meant to be all like dive in, like deep look at the book of Joshua. As a matter of fact, it's kind of the way we followed the book of Exodus and even Genesis. We kind of started off looking at some detailed stuff, and then we kind of broaden out the scope as Joshua. And we talked about it last week, as now they finally got the promised land and the battles are over for now, and they got their reward of having the promised land just the way God had wanted for them and how God had promised them. And then we saw that they got the rest, and we talked a little bit about that as a whole, as that's come up a couple of different times, and how rest is important. And so we actually talked a little bit about Psalm 23 with that as well, a little bit of a foreshadowing that I didn't even really know about. Psalm 23 was not on my to-do list this year, but God is just kind of directing me to that, so we're going to do that in a couple weeks, as I mentioned. But let's just look at this, these couple verses here, Joshua chapter 21. And we're going to look at verses 43 through 45. And it says, "So the Lord gave to Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors. And they took possession of it, and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had solemnly promised their ancestors. None of their enemies could stand against them, for the Lord helped them conquer their enemies. Not a single one of all the good promises the Lord had given to the family of Israel were left unfulfilled. Everything he spoken came true. Everything he had spoken, came true. And that's one of the first things that I want to look at here in this little bit. We're going to go ahead to Joshua 23 here in just a little bit. But first thing that I want to talk about there is that not one of God's things that he said, another translation, we're using the NLT translation as we have for majority of this series. The NIV translation says, not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. And here in this translation, in the NLT translation, it says, not a single one of all the Lord's good promises. It's just worded a little bit different. We're left unfulfilled. It's a little bit longer, but it means the same kind of thing. And he promised that they would get this land. He promised that all the way back to Abraham. And as we've looked at this entire kind of story, this segment of Israel's story, this is by no means their entire story, and nor did we look at their story in its entirety, but this is what God promised them. And something that we can look at is sometimes the word promise to us can mean a little bit of a negative feel because of the people have broken promises to us. People didn't do what they say. People didn't follow through. People, whatever it is, whether it's a friend, a parent, a grandparent, a boss, whatever, right? But God follows through with all of his promises. It may take a little bit. As we've seen throughout Israel's story, they had their ups and downs, and they had moments where they stepped forward and they did a good job, and they had all of that, and then they take a couple steps back because they'd get upset with God, or they start trying to do things their own way. And so he had promised Israel that they would have the promised land. And that's a convenient name, don't you think? Promised land, the land they had been promised. Very, very clever. And so in this verse come right after all the battles. They had gotten the land that God had promised to them. But now a little bit more of what we can look at and a little bit more of what we can see is God keeps his promises. From the very first promise, one of the very first promises that he gave. It's a little bit, depending on how you want to look at it. You see, Genesis 3, or Genesis 2, really, when God told Adam and Eve, hey, don't eat from the tree or you will die. Some people look at that as kind of like a promise, like you will die. That's kind of like God said it would happen. So it kind of falls into this category of God does what he says. But in reality, it depends on how you look at this, right? God, though, I think one of his first promises was to Noah. And in Genesis chapter 9, when God promised him the rainbow. When God promised never to flood the earth again, and the rainbow is what I kind of got my things mixed up there a little bit. But when a rainbow appears in the sky, it's just a reminder of the promise that God said he's not going to flood the earth again. And all of God's promises hold true, past, present, and future. God's got a good track record because he has not flooded the earth. God's very first promise that he gave to Noah, that he gave to us, is still true today. He promised it and he kept it. There's not been a global flood since. Some people will ask me, yeah, well, there's localized flooding and all of that. What about, that's localized flooding. It's never been a global flood like it was in the day of Noah. So to my knowledge, into what I want to think about God, his promises hold true. His track record is good. He's kept all of his promises. There's been promises after promises. We could sit here, we could look them up, and we could figure them out. But this promise to Noah, and then promise to Israel that they would have this land, and it became true. And so that's just the first thing. So God keeps his promises. We've talked about that. It's another reminder. We've talked about that several times on and off throughout this Journey to the Promised Land series. Now, let's read, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 23. Let's read this last speech that he gave. And I know it continues into Joshua 24, but a bulk of what I believe God has for us is in Joshua 23. So it says, the years passed, and the Lord had given the people, the people of Israel, rest from their enemies. Joshua, who was now very old, called together all the elders, leaders, judges, and officers of Israel, and he said to them, I am now a very old man. You have seen everything the Lord your God has done for you during my lifetime. The Lord your God has fought for you against your enemies. I have allotted you and your homeland, all the land of nations yet unconquered, as well as the land of those we have already conquered, from the Jordan to the Mediterranean in the west. This land will be yours, for the Lord your God himself will drive out all the people living there now. You can take possession of their land, just as the Lord your God has promised you. So be careful to follow everything Moses wrote in the book of instruction. Once again, at the very beginning, one of Joshua's first things that he was said was this very quotation. And then the next, like, he ends with this. Do not deviate from it, turning either to the left or the right. Make sure you do not associate with other people still remaining in the land. Don't even mention the names of their gods, much less swear by them or serve them or worship them. Rather, cling tightly to the Lord your God, as you have done now. For the Lord has driven out a great and powerful nations for you, and no one has yet been able to defeat you. Each one of you will put to flight 1,000 of the enemy, if for the Lord your God fights for you. And just as he promised. So be careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away from him and cling to the customs of the survivors of these nations remaining among you, you will intermarry with them. Then you will know for certain the Lord your God will no longer drive them out of your land. Instead, they will be a snare and a trap to you, a whip for your backs and a thorny brambles for your eyes, and you will vanish from this good land the Lord has given you. Soon I will die, going the way of everything on earth. Deep in your hearts, you know that every promise of the Lord has come true. Not a single one has failed. But as surely as the Lord your God has given you this good things he has promised, he will also bring disaster if you disobey him. He will completely destroy you from this good land he has given you. If you break the covenant of the Lord your God by worshiping and serving other gods, his anger will burn against you, and you will quickly vanish from the land he has given you. Those are some pretty strong words from Joshua. But the thing is that they're not different than anything that's ever been said. And we're going to see next week a little bit. We're going to fast forward in their story, and we're going to look at a chapter in the book of Isaiah where Israel's decisions and stuff has landed them in captivity again. And we're going to look at that, though, once again, and we're going to kind of be refreshed and reminded of some things. So let's look at these different things that I wanted to point out. There's three of these in this last little speech that Joshua gave that I think God wants for us and that God has for us. But before we look at those, I want to take a second. Like, Joshua here is reminding the people of what God has done for them, how he saved them from Egypt by parting the Red Sea and taking out the Egyptian army, how God has provided it for them while they were in the wilderness, how God has helped them get across the Jordan River, defeat Jericho, Ai, and all those other, and all that God has done for them. Everything they had was because God helped them get there. And so, just a few things. First of all, verse 3. Let's look at verse 3 again. And it says here that you have seen everything the Lord your God has done for you during my lifetime. The Lord your God has fought for you against your enemies. Joshua called them to remember all that God had done for them. All the ups and downs, the times where they followed him and the times where they didn't. God had given them all that they had. the land, the plants, the vineyards, everything else in the land that was now theirs. He was also reminding them of how God fought for them in Egypt, in Jericho, to get the land that they're in. Joshua was calling them to remember everything that God had done for them. And I think God calls us to do the same thing. God also fights for us. We never face a battle alone. God is there if we need our help. Sometimes we just need to be still and let God do the battling. Sometimes we need to be still and let God fight for us. Sometimes we need to be still and let God work with us and work with God to accomplish what He has for us. God is there for us, and I think He wants us to remember that and help us. So one of the things is let's remember going on through this week. Let's remember what God has done for us. Then my next thing that I want to bring up that I think God has for us is in Joshua 6, and I already kind of referenced this, Joshua 6 through 11, give or take a few verses here. It says that, so be very careful to follow everything Moses written in the book of the instructions. As I said earlier, just a little bit ago in this episode, that God, Joshua kind of started with this, right? Everything in the book that God says, let's just follow it. Make sure, do not deviate from it, turning to the left or to the right. Rather, cling tightly to the Lord your God as you have done until now. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. I skipped a few verses there to kind of make it one fluent kind of conversation. There's a few, everything that we read is important. We already read the whole text. But I think that there's a few things that God wants to point out. And here, Joshua gives them the words that God gave him and that we've heard many times throughout this thing. As a matter of fact, the first episode in this Strong series was two things that God wanted us to be was strong and courageous. And that the theme for this is strong and courageous faith. And so God gave them the words again, be strong. So be very strong. Follow these commands. Stand strong. God told Joshua a good handful of times, be strong and courageous. So this is just a reminder. God is still speaking those words today. The Bible breathes and it's helpful at all times and circumstances. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that it's alive and that it's God breathes and that it's useful for correction, for training, for teaching, for instruction for us is what the Bible does for us. And so the words be strong and courageous, because those words are written by God and because the Bible's God-breathed and inspired by God, those words are transcendent. So they're not just for Israel. So just as we talked about at the beginning of this series, we're talking about it at the end of the series. Be strong and courageous. Be strong in the Lord. Be courageous in the Lord. These words are for us. God wants us to be strong and courageous because He's fighting for us. And in the second episode, we talked about being fearless. We can be fearless because God is fighting for us. Joshua also said to stay strong in the Lord. They were following God better than they ever have, and they were reaping the benefit of being close to God. But as I said a little bit ago, there was a time where they kind of fell off again, and just like we do, like. Over the years of looking at Joshua and looking at all of this, it's kind of interesting that we pick and we poke at Israel for having their ups and downs and their flaky moments and things like that. But we often do as well. And that's why I think it's hard sometimes for us to swallow the fact that we can be difficult just like the Israelites. I know for me it is. It's just like, oh. Like Israel, just like, it's so funny. Why didn't they just do what God said? And then I look back at some of my messes that I've gotten myself into, and it's like, I don't know, Alex, why didn't you look at that as well? Why didn't you look and do what God asked you to do? And then you wouldn't have been in the mess you were in. And so the Bible, also we were mentioned in there, So be very careful to love the Lord your God. Love is the greatest commandment in the Bible. We see that in Matthew 22. And so that's not easy to do either. And so I think all of this and kind of goes into this final verse here, verse 14, where he says, "Soon I will die, going the way of everything on the earth. Deep in your hearts, know that every promise of the Lord your God has come true. Not a single one has failed. But as surely as the Lord your God has given you the good things he promised, he will also bring disaster if you disobey him." And to me, like, I like the first verse, right? Like, God, like, he's gonna be like, you know, the mortality of humans, like, he's gonna die, but deep in your hearts, or it's every promise that God gave you. But also keep in mind that life gets hard when we don't follow what God has for us, when we try to follow our own way, when we try to do what God, what we think God wants us to do, or we act how we think God wants us to act, and that's truly not what he has for us. As I just mentioned, why am I here? Like, what is all of this? And then, like, we realize, oh, well, I could have just done the way God was nudging me, and I would have been fine. I look back all the time at different things. And I know sitting here recording this and talking like I've got it all together, it's not the truth. Like, I think pastors and teachers and different people that discuss the Bible get this image that we've got it all together. And maybe that's a particular pastor or the teacher that's presenting that image. But me right now, I'm telling you that no, I don't have it all together. I act like Israel more than Israel acted like Israel sometimes. We don't stay focused. Like, one of the first things that we talked about is remembering that even though the future doesn't make sense, or even though the future is unclear, or even though we don't know what's going on, we don't know what lies ahead, that one of the very first parts of our theme for the whole kind of series as we've built, that God keeps his promises, but we must remain faithful and obedient when things don't seem clear, or we must remain faithful when things don't seem clear, or when we don't understand. That's where we kind of run into the problems, I think, is we start not to understand. And then we kind of do what Abraham did, and we try and help God. And then we wind up in bigger mess than we should have been. And we've already seen, too, here in Joshua, when when Achan took the things from Jericho that he wasn't supposed to take, and God kind of removed his, like, protection from them, and they lost that battle to Ai. And the thing is that God, you know, I don't, like, think he means he's going to wipe us out or, like, anything like that. It's just, this says disaster can mean a couple different things, I think, as I'm sitting here kind of feeling what God, like, wants me to say about it. It's not necessarily that our life is going to end, or that we're going to wind up dead or something like that. Maybe, like, you can't never, like, but the thing is that life is hard when we're not going with what God has for us. God wants things to work out for us. We've looked at Jeremiah 29:11 a couple times throughout the series as well. And that says, you know, God's got plans for us, and they're plans for good and not disaster, plans to give us a hope and a future. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to have life to the full. And some of the time, disaster gets blamed on God, but really it's just God letting us make our choices. And so the encouragements that are there in Joshua 23, I think, are exciting. Remembering that God's promise has never failed. Remembering that everything he said that was going to happen, happened. So looking back, let's just take this week and you can look back at what God has done for you, how God has helped you. Because when we're in the moment, we don't always understand, we don't always get it. But then when we come out of it, and when it's been a couple years, it's kind of like, oh, I can see where God was with me there, or God was with me there. And then just remember to keep our Bible close. That's, I think, what verses 6, 8, and 11 kind of tell us as we kind of read those together, is keep the Bible close. Be strong. Keep the Bible close. Have God with us. I mean, it's the It's the one of the armor of God, right? It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the word of God. Like, that's how we're supposed to do battle with what the what Ephesians 6 tells us is not the, it's the world. We're battling something higher than that. And so, but the also in Ephesians 6, it tells us to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Once again, it's a reminder that we can be fearless because we've got the mighty power of God on our side. And then, as we just talked about, just remembering that all of the promises that God has given us hasn't failed. They may look like they do. We may think that they do. But God always keeps his promises. We can see that because of there's never been a global flood ever since the time of Noah. So take those things with you. I hope that this encouraged you. I'm excited to kind of go back over and just kind of talk a little bit more about the entirety of our theme that we've looked at as we kind of end this journey. As we kind of get where we've seen a lot of practical helping hands and helpful hints and all of that as we pursue our own promised land, as we pursue our own journey and try to reach our own goals and our own dreams. And I believe God has been super helpful with us in this series. I know he's helped me a lot. And so I'm excited to kind of look back and just kind of break down our entire theme. Because during this series, we've kind of went away from it a little bit. So I think it'll be good as we close out that. And we'll also be diving into Isaiah 43 just a little bit to kind of tack on a little bit more. Just kind of what God said would happen happens. And so we'll be doing that next week. Then we'll dive into Psalm 23. For a couple weeks, and then we'll do Christmas at the Movies. I'm excited. I hope you'll come back next week, and I'll see you then.